Hello and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Pod. I am Brandon Molesky, my Minnesota Wild fan line co-host Pat Micheletti and former Golden Gopher great with me as well, as always. And we are brought to you by SodaSick.com and Culturama. And Pat, we're happy to have the head coach of the Minnesota Wild, Dean Evason, join us right out of the gate. Dean back in his home in Montreal. And Dean, really appreciate your time this morning. I know you're a busy guy with lots of stuff going on, but I have to ask you the hard-hitting question right out of the gate here, okay? You played for the Hartford Whalers for 7 seasons. It is my belief that the Hartford Whalers have the greatest logo in all of sports. I love the brand. I love the jerseys. I love the colors. I love the song after goals. We'll eliminate the Minnesota Wild, so you don't have any bias. But do you agree with me that the Hartford Whalers have the greatest brand of all time?
Yes, and it's absolutely amazing that that we still have such a following. And Billy Guerin busts me all the time about the Brass Bonanza being our
I would love it
goal song. Yeah, it's very unique. A lot of what went on there is very unique, and very proud of the time that that I spent there.
And the rivalry that you had with the Boston Bruins back then was epic. Every game was a tough game against the Bruins.
Yeah, it was different then. I mean, it was the Adams Division. I mean, we had huge rivalries with Boston, with Montreal. I mean, even with Buffalo and Quebec, it was very intense hockey. Played real hard, and with those little buildings, and certainly the Boston Garden was a lot of fun to go into, but tough building to play in.
All right, let's talk about your journey from assistant coach to head coach, Dean, because I would have to imagine you were brought in by the past regime. So when a new GM comes in, I would have to think that's a lot of uncertainty for you. So what happened from the time in which Bill Guerin gets hired to the point where you're allowed to become not only interim coach, but head coach? What happened where you cultivated that relationship?
Well, I don't think it's anything specific. I don't think it's any one thing. And I think, I conduct myself the same way no matter what, and just tried to go about my business. And obviously as an assistant coach, you try to do your job and try to assist the head coach and be part of the team and part of the solution to win hockey games. And I don't believe you have to change anything as far as there's obviously, some role definitions from becoming an assistant coach to a head coach, but you don't change who you are or what you do or how you conduct yourself or how you treat people or how you try to get the best out of people to try to win. And I hopefully along the way, in all my coaching stints have not, I've certainly learned and grown and changed, some things along the way, but, my philosophies are the same, and the way that I conduct myself hopefully is the same way, no matter what my title is, as a coach.
Yeah, this is certainly nothing against Bruce and his style of coaching. Every coach has their own style. You know, we all know that. But when you took over the team, at least from my assessment, it was a short sample, 12 games, whatever the case was. But to me, it seemed like a different atmosphere. And maybe that's the way it is with every new coach when they take over. You know, there's excitement and all that, but it really appeared to me that the team, that you involved everybody and everybody, it just seemed like everybody felt like they had a role and they were buying into what you were doing, and then you guys had some success.
Well, I mean, that's certainly been one of the things that I've tried to concentrate on as a coach, is try to, and not only with the players, I'm sure you're speaking about the players, but with our coaching staff, you try to define roles and you try to be a team within our coaching room. And I believe if you do that, it sends a really nice message to your group, because you're preaching team, team, team to your group. And if you come in there and you're not a team, as a coaching staff, then it's like, they're like, well, wait a minute, you're not doing the same thing. So try to do the exact same thing. And and I think the communication is a huge part of it, not only with the players, but with the team, the coaching staff as well. So hopefully we started that culture, creating that that team first atmosphere, and you know, will allow us to have success.
Let's talk about your playoff series against Vancouver. You guys seemed to play your game, game one, and looked like that was kind of the blueprint for maybe the rest of the series. And obviously, it didn't go that way after the first game. What changed after game one? And looking back at that series, what needs to change for this team to take the next step, you know, next year and into the future?
Well, the problem we ran into in games two and three, and it's been documented, but it was under 35 minutes of 5-on-5 hockey both games. And we can't play that game. You know, we got ourselves into trouble discipline-wise, taking penalties, and we weren't allowed to do what we do. You know, certainly there's going to be hockey games like that. We have to get better on the power play. We have to get better on our penalty kill as well. You know, our special teams, but we shot ourselves in the foot. We should not have been in the penalty box that often. We should have gave ourselves to an opportunity to play to our strength with our four lines and our 6D and our depth, which we did in game one. And, you know, obviously game one, we scored on the power play as well. So, you know, we did a lot of uncharacteristic things since we took over in that game two and three that snowballed. Game four, we thought we played a real good hockey game, got back to exactly doing what we did, and unfortunately got a you know, a loss in overtime.
Yeah, you know, game one, it was you know, for the way that you guys had to win was textbook. You know, yeah. You did 5-on-5. Once you got your forecheck going, you know, you smothered them, you frustrated their listen, their high end players are high end players, you know, the young kids that they have. And I don't think they minded all the penalties in the next couple games, because, you know, like you said, it just took you guys off your game.
Yeah. No question. And, you know, for us to, you know, again, to have success, you know, we needed everybody pulling, and we weren't allowed to have that happen. You know, you get into those situations, guys are sitting on the bench, and or you know, your lines are all messed up, and we weren't able to flow like we obviously wanted to.
I feel like one of the most encouraging parts of the season was really the emergence of Kevin Fiala kind of approaching star territory. And it seemed like, especially once you took over, he seemed to be even emboldened even more, and you know, played more minutes and had a bigger role. What was kind of your philosophy on handling him throughout the season and getting him to a point where, you know, he probably even has to take another step next year?
Yeah, he's definitely going to take another step. He has to. And he was one of the guys that, you know, struggled with his you know, consistency as far as the discipline in the playoffs, the games two and three. He took way too many penalties. And him and I had discussions years ago when I was coaching in Milwaukee and he was first come over here. I mean, he's the best offensive player in our hockey club. He was getting targeted, and he got frustrated in those games. So he knows it. He was accountable to it, recognized it, and you know, he'll be better going forward. But the thing is, he's even more mature than he was, obviously, when I had him in Milwaukee, and he can continue to make a step. But I think what allowed him to have success this year, and certainly down the stretch, was how he was committed to the team game. He was committed to you know, sharing with the puck with his teammates and communicating with them, and it just allowed him to play. Still play his game. He's got tremendous skill, tremendous talent, skating, shooting, handling the puck. He has all those assets, but he was doing it within a team atmosphere.
Hey, Dean, Billy was pretty blunt and honest in his postseason press conference, in talking about the needs and such. And, you know, I think we all know, you know, it'd be very nice to get a center somehow, or maybe two, whatever the case may be. That being said, Erickson Ek, you know, emerged as a, you know, his maturity level, his you know, his grittiness and all of that can kill penalties, and, you know, the list goes on. That being said, when you look at him offensively, do you think we've seen what he can do offensively, or is there more there that maybe we just haven't seen yet because of his, you know, age and such.
Yeah, no, we believe there's way more that we'll see, way more. You know, he is a defensive minded guy. He's, you know, he does all of those things. His face-offs took a step forward this year, which had to get better. They did. He's defensively so sound, so big, so strong, so physical, so tough guy to play against. His offense hasn't translated yet. It's there. We see it in practice. We see it a lot, you know, in different spurts and different areas, but it's not as consistent as it's going to be. So there's no question he's going to take a step offensively, you know, towards, you know, being a better, obviously well-rounded player.
Do you think that's, you know, loosening the reins maybe a little bit, or just getting it in his head to, you know, take that extra chance or risk or whatever the case may be to get him going, or what is it that maybe might get him to that next step?
Well, I think it's getting him to understand that he can do it, that he can, yeah. You can go forecheck. Like, you don't have to always be the third man high. You can get in there. You can be the first guy. You can be physical. You can make plays, and giving him that confidence. But obviously he has to, you know, get the confidence too, and or accept the confidence that he can do that. But and he will. But there's also there's an element of the Swedish player. I'm sure you guys know, like they
play, yes.
And they're very defensive minded. And I had I was fortunate enough to be with Nick Backstrom in Washington when he first came over, and we had to push him to go, like, just go. You don't have to always be the first guy back into your zone as the, you know, the centerman. You know, the way we play the game now, the first forward back is going to go down and help the D. So Ek, he understands that. It's just a matter of kind of getting out of his shell a little bit. And I think same as we talked about Kevin Fiala, he's going to take another step in his maturity and his confidence level when he comes to camp this year.
Well, let's talk about your Russian player, Kirill Kaprizov. I know you got the opportunity to pick him up from the airport.
Yeah.
How much interaction did you have with him other than just driving him from the airport? What have you seen from him on tape in his KHL playing? And what's kind of your realistic expectation for what kind of a role he'll have here in his first year in a Wild uniform?
Yeah, Billy and I were able to spend some time with him after. Just what really impressed us was his maturity level already. I mean, he's played pro for a few years. I didn't expect his English to be as good as it was. I took a lot of heat for when I picked him up. They said I sounded like Drago from Rocky or something. Me coach, you player. And the guys are like, you know, he speaks perfect English, like, and he really does. And he's got. But what impressed Billy and I the most, I think, is that he kept asking, like, when am I going to meet the guys? Like, when do I get to meet the players? And he wanted to go on the ice and all of that. So obviously he had to go through a bit of a quarantine period. So with some distancing, we were able to get him to meet a few of the guys. But that's what impressed us right away, is that he seemed very team oriented right away. He knew a lot of the players. When we were just chatting, he'd be like, you know, so-and-so and had a good year and this guy and blah, blah. And so he had done his homework. He'd studied, he'd watched us. So we're excited, obviously, about bringing in his skill level. But we're, you know, it doesn't seem like we're going to be bringing in a raw guy that hasn't played. Obviously, he's played pro hockey, and the KHL is a real good league. So he should be able to step in and help us clearly right away.
Hey, Dean, when you watch the playoffs, which I'm sure you are every day like we are, and you watch some of the teams play and their style and their personnel and their goaltending and, you know, whatever, do you compare, like, your team to what's out there and what you think you need to do, you know, to move up and, you know, take that next step?
Yeah, it's funny, Pat, because like when you lose out right away, like, you just, like, and I said a couple of times, like, you're bitter, you're frustrated, but it was actually sad leaving the bubble, because it was such a wonderful atmosphere, and it was you know, we really thought that we had a hockey club, and the way that we were playing, that we could continue. So when you when you lose, you take a step back. And I didn't watch the first round, like the first but now I'm dived into it again. But you do. That's exactly what we do as coaches. You start watching. And it's funny because you don't necessarily watch individual players. I'm watching more systematic stuff, like how are they playing in the D zone? How are they playing in the neutral zone? We have our thought process of how we're going to play the game and our structure, but there's little tweaks of what teams are doing. There's, who are they starting in the offensive zone as opposed to defensive zone as far as their lineup. So you're always learning, I think, and you're always trying to teach yourself different things and learn from how teams are playing the game, how coaches are coaching, and hopefully we're taking stuff that that can allow us to get better as a group.
Two more questions for Minnesota Wild head coach Dean Evason. I'm Brandon Molesky, Pat Micheletti with me on Beyond the Pod. And Dean, I want to ask you, clearly any decision being made this offseason is going to fall on the GM, Bill Guerin. But I'm just wondering, how much input do you have when it comes to free agency, trades, even the draft? I mean, how much are you interaction? How much is he listening to you? And really, how much input does the head coach have when it comes to, personnel?
Well, I think you guys have been around Billy or talked to him. He's a great communicator. He makes us all feel involved. We're in constant contact with everything, but certainly with free agency and how our hockey club needs to work. And the biggest thing that him and I have talked about is our hockey club needs to fit. We need to put pieces into place, and you hear it all the time. It's a puzzle. But if you have six left wingers on your team, it doesn't fit, and you need a group that fits together. So there's certainly pieces that we have identified that we've communicated as a group. And it's not just him and I, it's our coaching staff and the hockey ops, people. It included, we had a great weekend last weekend at Craig Leopold's place, and we did kind of a hockey summit. It was awesome that we were all able to communicate and talk about how we want to get better and how we're going to achieve our ultimate goal, which is winning the Stanley Cup.
And one more question for you, Dean. Now that you've been a head coach for a short amount of time, what's the best thing about being a head coach as compared to an assistant coach, and what's the worst part?
Media is the worst part by far.
Sorry.
It's part of it for sure. I'm just not a real, I'm not a social media guy. I really try to avoid it. Obviously, you have to know what's going on out there and all that kind of stuff. But, I coach the hockey club, and that's my job, and that's what I'm going to do. I don't really care if people write negative stories or positive stories or what have you. It's going to happen. It's out of my control. So leading into that, the best part is getting in the dressing room and on the ice and coaching, like communicating and having that ability to have an impact, hopefully, on not only an individual of how they play, but an impact of how your group competes and battles and gives ourselves an opportunity to win. So that's my job as the leader of the hockey club, as the coach of the hockey club, is to bring everybody along, and as I said, not only the players but our coaching staff as well, and hopefully we can do that. And again, our ultimate goal is to win the Stanley Cup. It's simple as that. I mean, everybody talks about, you got to get in the playoffs, you got to win the first round, all that kind of stuff. Those are all steps in our ultimate goal. And I don't think we've talked enough about that in the past here in Minnesota. And that's exactly what we want to do. That's why we're here.
Okay, Dean, I'll give you the tough question before we let you go. What team has impressed you most thus far in the playoffs, and who has a chance to win the cup?
Well, I mean, and even going into the bubble, it was just like, everybody's like, well, if you get in, you have a chance to win. And
right.
Everybody does, for right. sure. So to pinpoint one team, I mean, you look at the Dallas Stars right now, they weren't supposed to be even there, right? I mean, even have that opportunity. Now they're up 2-0. So I've struggled to say that there's one or a couple of teams, because honestly, everyone that's still there and so disappointed that we're not there, because
Right.
I would throw us in the same mix.
Gene, really appreciate your time today. I'm sure I'll see you at Prestwood Golf Course sometime soon.
Absolutely, would
All
love to be.
right,
Right.
thank you. The head coach of the Minnesota Wild, Dean Evason, really appreciate his time, and Aaron Sickman for helping us out. And before Pat, I discuss further with you, let's talk about SodaStick and SodaStick.com, one of our sponsors. Go to SodaStick.com to get your original Minnesota sports-inspired goods. They just launched their partnership with Michelob Golden Light for the Mick Golden Light Fishing Club merch line. The logo features a walleye chugging a beer. They've got it on shirts, hoodies, hats, windbreakers, and more. If you haven't seen it yet, you got to check it out. And we're going to hook you up with free shipping on your order. Just use the code KFAN for free shipping. That's SodaStick.com, original Minnesota sports-inspired goods. Use the code KFAN for free shipping. Let's continue with some Minnesota Wild talk.
Yeah.
Pat, they did add some new some coaches. Bob Mason, of course, gone. New goaltending coach is Frederick Chabot,
Yep.
who was which I find this one to be a little bit interesting, just because he was the Iowa Wild goaltending, the Minnesota Development goaltending coach. And could we possibly have Kaapo Kähkönen as our goalie next year? And does this kind of give him the lead, given the coach he was working with is now the goaltending coach?
Well, I think Kähkönen is obviously going to be an option. I think if they had their druthers, they would try to acquire somehow a number one goalie from a team. And there's going to be plenty of them out there. With the problems going on in Vegas now, and Calgary might be making a change, and Pittsburgh has been pretty pointed about trading Matt Murray or Tristan Jarry, but more than likely it'll be Murray. Holtby in Washington, maybe that's run it's run his course there. There's going to be some goaltenders available, and I think it could be a factor. It could be a factor.
The Wild are an interesting spot when it comes to goaltending, because you have the young inexperienced guy who we don't know if he can be the guy or not. You've got a goaltender in Devin Dubnyk that's had success in the past, but getting a little bit older and hasn't been great lately. And then Alex Stalock, who's a fine backup goaltender, but I don't think was ever going to be the guy who's going to carry the load for you.
No.
I kind of look at this. You just mentioned, Pat, some of the names that are available. You have Jacob Markstrom is going to be available. Braden Holtby. Robin Leonard is having a great year after being traded from Chicago to Vegas. Corey Crawford, your guy, is going to be available in free agency. As you mentioned, the trade market's going to have some available, including a guy in Matt Murray that's won two cups. I don't know if you're ever going to have a market like this with so many goalies
No.
anytime in the near future, which makes me believe, you might have to buy out Dubnyk. I like Alex Stalock. I think he's the greatest guy in the world, and he's a good team guy to have. But also having him on the team would shut you out from Kähkönen getting a role as well. So I almost feel like the way you got to go is there's so many goaltenders available, and you might not get this opportunity again. You got to get one of those in free agency or by a trade, and then I would probably have Kähkönen on the roster with them. That's kind of the approach I would take.
I'm that was perfectly stated, and I would look at it like this, Brandon. Narrow it. If you need a goalie, go and get one, because now is the opportune time to do it. And here's a name I'm gonna throw out at you. Calgary. It looks like Calgary is willing to move anybody, from reports I've read, and things of going on in the league. David Rittich. Right, he backed up Talbot in the playoffs, got in a little bit. Now he's a guy. I'm a big Johnny Gaudreau fan,
I was just
and
going to bring him up. That was my next topic.
I tell you what, and to get Gaudreau, you're gonna have to give up something. What people don't understand, well, we they say, well, we can't trade him because he then we lose this guy. Well, to trade for a good player, you have to give up a good player. So and if Calgary's gonna unload, Dubnyk's got 1 year left on a very friendly contract. I would package Dumba and Dubnyk to Calgary for Rittich and Gaudreau. I think that's fair. I think it helps both teams. And, you know, Minnesota solves their goaltending problem to a certain degree. Now, is he the best goalie available? Probably not, but he's still young. And then you can work in Kakinen with him and or Stalock. You know, I think everything is going to be talked about. But if you want a centerman that are very hard to get, and Johnny Gaudreau did not have a good year. However, you know, pretty darn good player, pretty dynamic player. And boy, can you imagine him and Kaprizov or him and Fiala together? Boy, there's possibilities that that are very intriguing.
It's funny you led me right into the next topic, because the second you mentioned Calgary, I was going to bring up Johnny Gaudreau at some point, because there's rumors that Calgary is willing to ship him. He has two more years left on his deal at a reasonable $6.75 million. Obviously, a chance to get paid much more after that. And you know if you trade for him, one, I think you need to give up more than Dumba and Dubnyk for him. That's just part of the package. There's still a lot more to come, but you know. I've always kind of compared him a little bit to like kind of a Patrick Kane light.
Oh yeah, exactly.
You know, similar types of plays in terms of their size and their ability to handle the puck and their skating. And I just think you know, we've been looking for a star, and if he's available, like I said, I don't know how much you have to give up, because you're gonna have to give up a lot to get him. But you're almost, you know, you've got Fiala as an emerging star. Johnny Gaudreau is a star. Maybe Kaprizov can become a star. You know, all of a sudden you got, you know, 2.5-3 stars on your team. And, you know, with how good this team is defensively, and you find a goalie, and, you know, this thing could get turned around pretty quickly, Pat.
Well, absolutely. And Brandon, you know, as well as I do, you know, look at the way, I mean, Fiala was fantastic, right? Well, he was really all we had in that star category. You know, you think Vancouver didn't say, you know, let's frustrate him, let's shut him down, let's get him off his game. You need help. You need another player that has to be a major focus or two. And I mean, look no further than the Boston Bruins or the Tampa Bay Lightning, or, you know, or the Vancouver Canucks, right? Or the Vegas Golden Knights. They're loaded up front with 2, 3, 4 guys in their top six. And, you know, that makes a big, big difference in how your team is defended and how you play offensively. And we know the needs of this team, and it's not going to be easy to fill all the voids that are there. But like you said, one or two guys can really elevate what you have right now. And that's why I'm with you, where I don't think they're that far away with a couple moves.
Well, and the knock against this might be, Pat, that, well, you still haven't addressed the center position, and that's still going to be a need moving forward. And that's still a concern for me, because I do think it's very important to be good up the middle if you want to be a Stanley Cup winning team. That being said, you know, when you also have a chance to get star power, who will make whatever center you have with them better and elevate your center, I know we've had enough of left-handed left wings on this roster, but you know, ship some of them away and do whatever you can to get the center position. And I want to talk about another interesting thing. You know, Toronto and Pittsburgh just made the trade where Pittsburgh just reacquired Kasperi Kapanen, and they actually traded that first round pick that was thought to be the Wilds there for a second, that number 15 pick. So now Toronto has it, and Toronto's not necessarily going to keep the number 15 pick. Toronto's looking for a defenseman. You know, would you have any desire to throw Dumba and Brodin towards Toronto for a, you know, for that number 15 pick and something else? Of course, it's got to be more than just 15, because then you got two shots at getting a center in that first round of the draft.
Yeah, and don't forget this name, William Nylander, however you pronounce it. Listen, Toronto's going to have some problems with the cap, and you know, they need a defenseman in the worst way. And I know Minnesota was in on happening, and obviously didn't offer enough, or, you know, couldn't consummate the deal, which is fine. I think he's a nice player. I don't know if he's worth a number one, because, you know, at nights he's great, at nights he's, you know, you can't recognize him. So, but Nylander you know, people are talking about him being a potential star. Hasn't hit that yet. I think he had mid-20s in goals this year. You know, he'd be another guy that would be very intriguing. And I'm sure they're going to be talking to Toronto an awful lot over the rest of the summer.
I want to talk about some of the guys that are, you know, maybe due for a contract extension. One of them would be Marcus Foligno. He has 1 year left at $2.875 million. So he'll be an unrestricted free agent after this upcoming season. And, you know, Pat, I like Marcus Foligno as a player. I like him as a third line, fourth line, bottom six type guy. I do feel like he gets hyped up a little bit too much in this town. You know, people are clamoring for him to be the captain, and he's a great soundbite after games and all that stuff. And people are doing the old, we have to re-sign this guy. And, you know, when you start getting into $3 million territory or $4 million territory for a bottom six guy, that worries me a little bit. I'm not like 100% in on, we have to re-sign Marcus Foligno. I think he's a good player. He's a solid player and I like him, but like I said, I feel like people have hyped him up a little bit too much.
Well, and listen, he's slotted, right? If you go in the $5 million range, then you're making a mistake. I like him. I think he's a player that you know, Dean talked about, you know, getting the right fit. I think he's a right fit because, you know, he is a good guy. He is a good, he doesn't stir the pot, you know? And I think, you know, when I look at line combinations and things of that nature, if you have two superstars, let's say it is Kaprizov and Goudreau, right? He may fit in on a line like that because he knows what to do. He's not a dumb player. And, you know, he can bang, he can go in the corners, he can get in front of the net. You know, he may be a guy that just fits on a line, okay? And instead of just, okay, playing his 8 minutes a night or whatever. So you don't know, is there more? Is there 20, 25 in him? No, but you're not looking for that. You're looking for a guy to protect the other two stars on the line, chip in, make the smart play, you know, that sort of thing. So, has he been a third and fourth line guy? Does he have a little bit more? Maybe it's, you know, might be worth a shot. I would sign him, but I wouldn't, you know, I mean, I think I think he knows what he's worth too. And yeah. Accept it.
I like him where he's at, but I don't like him if he's going to start making more money, I guess is my point.
Exactly.
In terms of what the hit is against the salary cap. All right, two more topics. One more Wild related topic. You know, we didn't get to it last week, but Jim Suhan had a column in the Star Tribune suggesting the Wild trade Zach Parise and retain Devin Dubnyk. And as I was reading it, my thought process was, sure, I'm fine with trading Zach Parise, but I don't think you're going to get as much back as Jim thought you'd get, like a young prospect for him. And I think, you know, if you trade him, you're getting kind of someone else's bad contract along with him.
Yeah.
And we already kind of mentioned Devin Dubnyk earlier, but you know, I don't know if you can go into another season counting as him as your number one. At the very least, if you're going to keep him, I think you got to get him someone who's a 1A, 1B that can compete.
The goaltending in the playoffs is, you know, it makes or breaks your team. It really does. We've seen absolutely fantastic goaltending, you know, from the majority of the teams. And then, you know, you see the teams that are losing, it's some bad goals. And you need, you know, I'm more and more convinced that this team's top, well, 1-1A, but you know, they need to find a goaltender. They really do. You can't play around. If you want to win, you can't play around where you're hoping for a rebound year or you're because guess what? The players know. They know. And it affects their psychology and their thinking you don't want to go into it with here we go again. You know, one bad goal, we lose the game, we played well, but and so I think, like, you make changes to your coaching staff, you know, you need to make changes where you see fit if you want to take that next step. And you know, Devin had a great career here. No question about it. And, you know, he had an off year last year. But, you know, I think it's just time that they really focus on what they need to do.
All right. Final topic. Let's move to college hockey, Pat. Over the past week, I think not surprising news at all. I'm surprised it didn't happen earlier. But once the seven teams dissolved from the WCHA conference and moved to CCHA, and you had the two Alaska teams and Alabama Huntsville, I thought it was just kind of a matter of time before these programs are in deep trouble. And then you combine that with the pandemic. I don't know how they can survive. But Alaska Anchorage shutting down their hockey program. Obviously, I'm sure you have memories of traveling up there and playing up there.
Never played there.
You never played there? No. Oh, they were not in the WCHA at that time, probably, huh?
No.
I'm showing my age, Pat.
Yeah.
It was Nate Miller that always went Alaska Anchorage. But your reaction to the, you know, them shutting down their program?
Well, I, you know, we're trying to grow the game, right? And you hate to see teams suffer like that. I'm really worried, Brandon, about us losing more teams. You know, you got teams in the Upper Peninsula that are small schools that don't have revenue generating sports like football to support it, and you're relying on ticket sales, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough road going forward. Hopefully everyone will survive, because, you know, as soon as we add St. Thomas, well, then we lose one and maybe lose two. And, you know, that's and it takes a lot of opportunities away from kids. So hopefully we'll get through this thing and everyone will survive. But, you know, it's tough to see that happen. I mean, there was a time, Brandon, when Anchorage and Alaska joined the WCHA, Anchorage did, that they were paying for the flights of other teams to go up there and their lodging and everything.
Jeez,
so it's like a trip. And now, you know, we see what's happening. It's hard. It's tough.
Pat, great job as always. We'll talk to you next week. Oh, I forgot to, you should also mention Culturama. We should probably give them some love since they are one of the two sponsors on the Beyond the Pod podcast. Yeah,
Culturama. Have you ever been told your hockey playing child has what it takes to be the next big superstar? Or does he or she stand out, but you are unclear how to obtain exposure to meet that goal? At Culturama, they cultivate, collaborate, and connect with opportunities to advance your child's athletic career. They offer free firsthand knowledge on how to become your child's momager or dadager. Or those who are looking for specialized services, Culturama is here to help. They will personalize a strategic plan, develop PR and media kits, build and or manage your child's brand. Follow, like, and subscribe to Culturama today and learn how to get started.
Yeah, thank you so much to Culturama and SodaStick, SodaStick.com. Use the code KFAN for free shipping when you go onto their website. Thanks to Minnesota Wild head coach Dean Evason for joining us. This has been another episode of Beyond the Pod. We will talk to you next week.
Thanks, Brandon.